podcast is called
OK. Welcome to OK Stupid. A podcast. Oh my god, this photo.
A podcast about being horny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
The horniest podcast in Brooklyn.
And that it is. And here's how you know, because it says it on a t-shirt, and t-shirts don't lie.
Yeah.
Just like podcasts.
It's on a shirt, and oh, what was that? Yeah, you can now buy one. we have a limited supply, limited run.
Yeah.
To create higher demand. And they're sick as fuck. They're pink tie-dye. And
you can think of it as the new Supreme.
Yeah, right. It's sort of, it's Supreme-esque, I would say.
Inspired by
we're the new Supreme, you know what I mean? Limited drop, huge demand.
You've got a lineup on Wilshire Boulevard at, you know, 6 a.m.
It's going to be worth a lot before. In a week.
There's only 3 shirts, folks.
Should we list our shirt on Grailed for like $600?
Yeah. Oh my god, I've gotten way too addicted to Grailed. And I get notifications now, and it's like you can go and like things, and then it alerts you when the price drops. Mm-hmm. And you get a notification, and I'm like, oh! Speaking of how our brains are addicted to the internet.
Yeah. I mean, The Social Dilemma does something really interesting in the documentary where there's the man from Mad Men, an actor from Mad Men, as we discussed, plays like the phone, plays like the technology. And so he's like, they have like 3 of him in a room, and he inexplicably, like, there's 3 of him, and one of them is like supposed to be like the money making, and one of them is like engagement. But like, he inexplicably, like, as there's 3 of them, one of them is like pretty good looking, one of them is a little schlubbier, and then one of them is like really overweight and dirty. And like, they never really explain that, but he's kind of like talking to himself the whole time. Let's throw him an ad. Yeah, why hasn't he pulled out his phone in an hour? Let's give him a notification about, you know, his crush liking something.
That's so evil.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. That was my favorite part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, it was really hokey, that part. Wait, for me, as somebody who is just completely hook, line, and sinker caught up in this thing, I was like, yes, dude, they are 3 people in our brain, dude. They are fucking with our shit.
Wait, what? So why were there people of different attractiveness?
I don't know. Like, one of them,
it's like hot people don't fall as prey to the tech.
All 3 of him, it's like the same actor, just like styled 3 different ways. And they are all different elements of, or different goals of AI. In its interaction with you, like, it's like, I'm the guy who wants to make them click on ads.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's super weird. I don't know.
Shit.
Free my boyfriend listened to the last couple episodes. We kind of listened while we worked one day, and he was like, your voice in this episode sounds too much like you're on NPR. He was like, what, did you listen to NPR before you were going to this one? He was like, you're too calm or something.
you have a good podcast voice.
I don't know about that, but thank you. But I did. I was like, it was the toning. I you know what I think it is that I just started listening to The Daily again, maybe.
You're like, hi, I'm Michael Barbaro.
Yeah.
And
this is okay stupid.
Me and Free have been having sex trouble.
Yeah. That's you fooled me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have. We've been listening to like this philosophy podcast called On Being, and it's all just very soft, muted conversations, vulnerabilities.
Yeah, we have to start listening to Call Her Daddy.
Yeah. What's up, big slats?
Have you ever listened to Call Her Daddy?
No.
No.
Yeah, no, me neither.
And they don't they call themselves the fans daddies? Little daddies or something?
Daddy gang.
Oh. Daddy gang.
Mm-hmm. Which is short for
Daddy Gang Bang.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I've listened to like a 35-minute clip of Call Her Daddy explaining how to give a blowjob for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
You're gonna want to employ the grapefruit technique.
Yeah. Do you remember? Was there anything that stood out to you? I've been meaning to like kind of look up, because the only reason I know how is because I called my friend Andrew, freshman year of high school, and was like, how should I be giving blowjobs? And he was like, well, here's some things that I enjoy. And ever since then, like, all I do is I'm like, when I'm giving head, like,
well,
it's in my voice.
Some things I enjoy.
Yeah. And my friend Jay, and they were like, well, I remember, like, it's this sound bite I remember explicitly that I think of every time, plays in my head every time I give head, where it's like, and the balls, those go in your mouth.
Dude, Andrew's 14 at this point, just talking about blowjobs.
No, sorry. Freshman year of college.
Oh, that's why. No, hey, Andrew.
Because I gave head and I was like, I don't really know how to do this. And then I called.
Got it. I thought you were asking a 14-year-old for a blowjob.
No. My first conception of a blowjob was that you blew on it.
We were kind of doing a joke the other day where giving head is getting a raspberry on your dick.
That's so true.
Without a tummy.
Well, have you ever gone to Google for sexual expertise?
Yeah, but I just didn't feel that personal. Well, what did Call Her Daddy say?
Well, so they call the blowjob. They have
the holy grail
blow jinky. Blow
daddy.
Even worse. I'm setting the timer. They call it the Gluck Gluck 9000.
No.
What the fuck does that mean?
How old are these women? Like 40?
I don't know. What would be like the most disturbing age?
40.
Or like 15.
So they've got the Gluck Gluck 9000, and then there's like various.
It's so disgusting.
There's like the Gluck Gluck 3000, the Gluck Gluck.
Right.
7000, you know.
Like 9000 is the blowjob with like a finger in the butthole.
Yeah.
I think it's just about there. It's about like levels of veracity.
Right.
Enthusiasm.
And I think like Gluck Gluck is like onomatopoetic. It's like ideally it's
Gluck. That is, now I get it more, but I don't like it more.
Right.
Yeah, it's immature. I'll say it.
What do you call blowjobs?
I don't.
Yeah, I guess. What did?
I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was like, I don't think I ever gave my last boyfriend a blowjob.
Oh, really?
He did it for like a year and a half.
Dick did not go in mouth.
Which anyway. Is like baller move. It's like, yeah. You didn't know I was gay?
Yeah. Okay. Continue.
I was dating somebody once and they said that they didn't want to give head unless I had gotten an STD test.
Yeah.
It's like totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. And I went and I just remember like getting my blood drawn and like looking at this nurse and being like, this is so I can get head.
Wait, what did they say?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, I mean, what did they say? It was a lot of, multi-hand, like, corkscrew, double hand situation. Kind of like kind of like what you would imagine a porn star blowjob to be like.
Double hand.
Yeah, like some double corkscrew hand. Twisting.
Like a rug burn, sort of.
Yes, like a rug burn, exactly. Like you're bullying a seventh grader, you know. But not that kind of bullying or whatever.
I feel like we just could give a general disclaimer, you know, we're never being pedos.
Yeah.
and then we can just, you know.
I wouldn't hook up with a girl who was 9 months younger than me.
Older only. Yeah, I feel like the classics are always like the head. Focus on the head. The head is the clit.
And it is, and that's what I learned from Chemist
and if
you're
tuned in last week. Yeah.
Yeah.
It also gets wet.
Yeah, sometimes now Free will be like, I'm hard and wet.
Wet and hard.
Yeah. We're both learning a lot.
That's great.
The one thing I will say about the whole Call Her Daddy experience is I did immediately afterwards masturbate.
Yeah. It was hot to hear them.
Yeah.
I get that.
Are you attracted to them ordinarily? I don't even know what they look like. I've never seen them.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that we were talking last week about how there's nothing sexier or like that there was a disparity between me being like there's nothing sexier than a girl like would theoretically whispering in my ear being like, I want to have sex. There's also nothing sexier than like, you know, like the gleefulness in which they talk about how much they like sex.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool. That's
and specifically giving head.
Right. Right.
Even more surprising maybe.
Right. Totally.
I bet people masturbate after they listen to these unhinged episodes.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't, for sure.
Totally.
But also, yeah, like I feel like there's a dearth of and maybe this isn't even true, of like dirty talk porn or audio porn, which is sort of what TryQuinn.com is. But yeah, I always want to hear more. I want to hear people talk about sex.
Yeah.
Ideally while they're having it, but.
Oh my God. Special episodes of Unhinged. And we this GoPro. Part feels good because it's deep and
I dread the needing to like narrate my own sex. Mm-hmm. I'd just be like, oh wow.
But dirt is that different from dirty talk then, narrating it?
Yeah
I
what's
guess.
Okay, go around the room, what's your favorite, and you don't have to have said it, what's the favorite dirty talk thing that you've heard or like that you would, that is like a sex,
like sexy, like to
a sexy phrase.
I don't know. Yeah. Like I, what my first boyfriend told me he wanted more dirty talk, and I Googled it, and the one that really stuck with me was, I want to be your, I want to be your cummy little sex doll.
Cummy?
Yeah.
Cummy little sex doll.
I think. Or it was like something that was like,
I mean, that makes
sense. Yeah.
Cum dumpster?
Sex doll. I want to be a sex, yeah. I want to be your cum dumpster and your hole. Smiley face.
I like it when Catherine and I both call each other sluts.
That's awesome.
Like same breath, you know? You little slut. You little slut.
I was having sex sometime in the last 4 years with somebody. And they said, we were having sex and they said, come for me. And I was like, dude. Absolutely, I will. I am.
Yeah, right.
That is a good
one. I say that.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a... Because, and Frank, I didn't articulate this to this person, but it was like, there is kind of like, I'm like, well, how many, like, are we way over time? Are we way under time? Yeah, you know,
right. That's actually a good communication. Check right. in.
It can be like, oh, okay, we're within the deviation. We're in the wrap-up zone. Yeah. Like, I'm going to, you know.
Third act right here.
Yeah, right. It was validating that I wasn't like...
It's the end of Act Two.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Climax.
Yeah.
The character has what they has gotten what they want.
Mm-hmm. Now they're about to get what they need. Yeah. Which is a hearty load.
And that's actually what I said.
What about this phrase? Take my load. For some reason I was thinking of just the term load earlier today.
Wow.
It's kind of funny. Some good laundry.
Yeah, it brings to mind the image of a full dump truck.
A cum dump truck. A cum dumpster truck.
A cum dump truck.
Yeah, no, dirty talk. I feel like for me, it's usually part of we're role playing some sort of narrative, and it's like hard to isolate an individual phrase personally. I never remember to do it as often as I'd like.
What?
Dirty talk. Oh, sometimes you just get so in the zone. It's like,
well, that's even better.
No one's speaking.
Yeah. Well, I have been reading a little bit of this book, and there's a little quiz that I feel like we could do together.
We love
a worksheet even more.
Oh my God, is it on your Kindle?
It's on my Kindle.
Oh, hell
I read it on my Kindle, which is really like the two books that I have that are kind of worksheet based. This and The Artist's Way are both on my Kindle, which is kind of actually inconvenient.
Here's a dilemma I'm in. Our good friend Rachel, shout out to Rachel, loaned me a book and it's mostly worksheets and it's all about sex. And I'm like, do I fill this out?
Use tracing paper.
Just give her, you know, a book full of my deepest, darkest.
Okay, well, one of the things that I learned, there was a long chapter about kind of like the brain and how it like monitors what we talked about last week, SES and SIS. And one of the things it talked about was this study that they did on a rat, maybe even a couple rats, where they like stimulated, they figured out, they put on a painless, they made sure to specify, a little probe into its brain that could like stimulate this like center in its brain that either tells you to be like worried or excited. And they put the rat in three different contexts and stimulated both parts of the thing. So they put it in a neutral mm-hmm. kind of normal cage in the normal lab where it usually hangs out. And they stimulated the top part of the little center and it made it like excited and it started being curious and like kind of sniffing around. Mm-hmm. And then they stimulated the bottom part of the of the center. And it became very anxious and like kind of went into a corner and got scared. And then they put it into a little rat heaven, which was like a little cage rat that smelled heaven. Like home, and it was dark and like cozy and soft. And they stimulated what?
For pizza rat.
Yeah. 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 It was a piece of pizza. And it smells like home. And it's a New York City rat.
Yeah, it's just a trash can. Disgusting.
Yeah. And they stimulated the top part and it was still excited and smelled around. But then when they stimulated the bottom part, it was still excited and smelled around. And because of the very positive context, it was like unaffected by negative stimuli. And then they put it in a rat nightclub, and it had like varying levels of really loud, scary music, and there were like flashing lights, and it was like, whoa, and it stimulated the top part of the brain, or the bottom part, and the bottom part was like, scared, scared, go in a corner. But then the top part also triggered, scared, scared, go in a corner. And that is a point that illustrates how important context is to sex, and that even if you set everything upright, candles and all this good stuff, if you're in a scary environment otherwise, either internally, like you're in a bad brain state, or if like larger life issues are weighing on you, then even like the pleasant things won't work, and vice versa.
Damn.
That's you could wild. Be in a scary place, and even if you're in a great mood and feel safe, then you would still be excited.
Wow. So context kind of is everything.
Yeah. And then there's this little worksheet where you can figure out what contexts are sexy for you.
Damn.
Cool.
Can I just say, they can do that to rats? When, like,
yeah.
They make the rat horny.
They did surgery on a grape, you know?
Dude. They make grapes horny?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they...
And it is also, it's always jarring to realize that rats are pretty similar to us in terms of our brain chemistry.
I like that shit, though. I feel like it annoys me that like right-wing freaks have cornered the market on saying humans are like animals. You know what I mean? They've really cornered the like, we're dogs of prey, you know, whatever the fuck to like explain.
Right.
You know, rape culture.
Right.
But it's like, so it's like, I can't be like, guys, people are like animals, because then you're like one of them. But
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
We're like rats.
A good piece of meat will get me drooling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would definitely press the lever like a million times for the treat.
Yeah. I'm like, I like food.
Me hitting my vape as soon as I wake up every morning.
Okay, so the what you're supposed to do, kind of the general structure of the worksheet, is you think of three super positive sexual experiences and you describe them in detail, and then you describe what aspects of that experience made it positive, and you go through all these different little categories. Wow. We can probably each just do one of those. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, conversely, you're supposed to describe three that were just not as pleasant, and then you describe the context around those. I feel like we could just do one sexy one because it'll take long enough.
And can I say, what do you guys think about staying away from the best and the worst?
Definitely.
Because we kind of want like, you know, I feel like that's in
a typical positive experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Okay. I have one because I've done the worksheet.
Cool.
So
kick us off.
Yeah, I'll kick us off. Okay, mine is that one time my boyfriend Free and I went dancing, and we were out with some friends. And they didn't know yet that we were dating, so we were kind of keeping it a secret from them. But we were all dancing. It was this really fun, like, underground basement club that was playing all, like, fun retro music. And we were dancing, and Free's a really good dancer, so he was showing off a lot. And a couple girls were trying to, like, kind of flirt with him. And, you know, we weren't acting like a couple, but I was like, I know that he's, you know. And so I kind of had the market cornered on Free's attention. And then as soon as we left the venue, we went into the car we had driven there in, and we had sex, and it was awesome. Nice. And it was really fun. So that's mine.
In the car?
We had sex in the car.
It's notable to me that all the context that you gave centered around, it did not center around actually what physically happened.
Totally. Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah. It was like definitely the lead up.
Context,
yes, if you will. The context, yes.
Huh.
The car was kind of a normal car parked on a dark street.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is unrelated perhaps to your, to like the express goal of the worksheet, but as it was happening, did you know that it was good sex? Or did you have that thought, or do you remember having that thought?
Like as we're having sex? Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. It was really good sex. It was really fun. It wasn't like long lasting, but because we had been, I think, like waiting to hook up all night.
That is fun.
Yeah.
Like kind of a prolonged foreplay.
Exactly, exactly. Damn. And like interpersonal and like social foreplay as well.
Okay, I'll do one. This was kind of back at the beginning of our relationship. And we had the apartment to ourselves, which never happens because we both have roommates. And we were on the couch. We like had a date night on the couch, which was fun, watching TV. Started hooking up on the couch, but just like making out for a while. And eventually we went into the kitchen and we were like pushing each other up onto like the appliances and whatever. And then I know that Catherine's really into ice. She like loves like sensations, like hot and cold or whatever. Makes her sound kind of like a rat.
She loves sensations.
She loves sensory experiences. So I think I was just like, I pushed her up against the wall and I pulled her dress up so her ass cheeks hit the bare wall too. And she was like, oh. And then we like, I guess I like used an ice cube and just kind of like ran it all over her body.
Oh, so sexy.
Kind of drove her crazy. And then it was all downhill from there. That was like at the very beginning. I never performed that well again. But I'm thinking, already I'm analyzing and I'm like, definitely the context mattered because we knew we had the place to ourselves. We knew the roommates were gone. There's no chance they were going to walk in. And I think I'm often stunted because in my old apartment, I had four roommates and I know the walls are fucking thin and I didn't want anyone to hear me ever. And like,
yeah, it's like a dorm.
Yeah. It just felt, you don't feel like you have the freedom to be as loud or as adventurous as you'd like. Totally. So that was good. And then we like went back to the couch and then hooked up more. And the rest was not as
notable.
Kinky.
Yeah.
I have one that is maybe notable because, well, as I'll tell the story. I was like, this was when I was dating a girl, and we were at her apartment. We were at her. Wow, fuck! I don't know how to tell the story without revealing who it is, but that we were. we were at her like sorority house, and which I might have been the first time I'd been there, just giving context or whatever, and we were like at it was one of the first times I kind of felt like that we were really hanging out in like a boyfriend girlfriend capacity, like we were kind of just doing nothing at her in her bed or like in her room, which was just a bed because we were in college or whatever. And we were only having sex with protection at that point, and neither of us had a condom. And so we were just, there was like this, we were both kind of too tired to go navigate trying to find a condom, but we were both also very horny. And so we didn't end up actually having sex, but we were like fooling around for like a really long period of time, but without any like, there was never gonna be a pressure relief. There was, or like a pressure release, like an orgasm, or at least. Cause I guess that we also weren't like, there was no oral sex going on either. We were kind of just like in a vibe where we were like making out and dry humping and
it's
stuff.
It's like high school.
That's yeah, so yeah, like fucking really, so fun. But it was like,
if this, I had had sex in high school.
But kind of layered over it was like that we could have gone and had sex,
right?
You know, if we wanted to, or could have done other things or whatever. But something about it was just like like insanely arousing. And neither of us ever came.
That's wild. Awesome. Yeah, I wonder if you like just remove the possibility of an orgasm altogether, if it's like you relax more, or I don't know, there's some sort of ease to it.
Yeah.
There's not a formula to follow, maybe.
Yeah, or an expectation, or like a worry about an expectation.
Right.
And maybe this is like a guy thing, I wonder, I'm curious, but there was an element, as I'm thinking about it, of a like a relief that I didn't need to like prove myself sexually in that moment. Like we had sex enough times where like we were comfortable with each other sexually, like there wasn't like
totally
there was no risk perceive, like I perceive no risk of like, I could like, I'm a few bad sex sessions away from it being like a situation where right. we're just not sexually, didn't have sexual chemistry or whatever. Right. That wasn't in my mind. It was more like we were just, yeah, it felt a really nice relief to like not need to prove myself in that moment.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Totally.
I think I feel definitely some degree of that, but it's, I probably wouldn't call it performing. It'd be like, I'd be stressed that if I'm not able to come, I would make them feel bad or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Performing in its own way though, I think, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Huh, that's okay. So interesting.
So now we can break down and make all of our experiences positive. Break it down. So there are a few categories, and then within those categories, there are kind of little bullet points, so we can just do it by category. So the first category is your mental and physical well-being. So that's your physical health, your body image, your mood, anxiety, distractibility, worry about sexual functioning, and of course, other. And for me, I think like when I was thinking about this, because I had been not like drinking or anything, but I had been dancing and out for like an hour or two, mm-hmm. I felt totally relaxed, disconnected from anything that made me feel anxious. And this is something that really like we noticed was that we were both already like physically active, like we were both kind of like sweaty and like not, there wasn't like a like initial energy we had to like get up to. We didn't have to like rev ourselves up to have sex. Like we were already like active, sweaty.
That's a big one, I feel.
Ready to do physical activity.
Yeah.
And I had never thought about that.
Because like, I feel like often the case is like you're watching TV in bed together or something. It's like, we could have sex, but like, I'm like, tired.
Yeah, I'm like, hi, I'm lazy, yeah. I'm sleepy. I don't want to like sit up.
Mm-hmm.
But this, we were already both very like active.
Huh.
So, and I felt good about my body because we had been dancing.
Yeah. And you had probably been drinking at least a little bit, right?
We had like split a beer.
Oh, nice.
But since we were driving, we couldn't drink.
Oh, right. You drove.
High off life.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
I think in my example, because we had like a little date night dinner and wine, like I wasn't as high as I normally am, which is good because that is an obstruction. But I had like a little alcohol in my system, so I felt kind of sexy. I was in the mood, and it gave me like the confidence to be bold when maybe I normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
So it was helpful in that context. But it's not like I was like sloshed also. I think there's definitely a narrow window of peak performance while drinking.
Totally.
I think I kind of alluded to it, the idea that I had kind of felt like I had newly entered this zone of comfort with somebody mm-hmm. and kind of the like momentum you get from like, oh my God, I'm now comfortable with this person that's a new experience in and of itself. So I think the newness mm-hmm. of that was really exciting. And yeah. And then I think also which I also alluded to, the lack of like needing to think about anything around orgasm, that it was like really just we were kind of fooling around.
Yeah.
Was a nice like mental, like there was no failure, you know, you couldn't, there was no way to botch it.
Right.
Like totally. Either through,
yeah,
you know, not coming or coming too quickly or them not coming or you know, whatever.
There's so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were like relaxed and out of your head in a way.
Yeah. And I should say like really a happy time in my life. Mm-hmm. Like I was like a junior in college and well now everybody, you know, anybody who's doing the Sherlock Holmes out there can guess who this was, but like you know, like shit was going well for me. I was living with my best friends, like
The fucking good old days.
Yeah, I think I had a job lined up for the summer. You know, like I didn't have a lot of stresses on my life.
Yeah,
which definitely plays a part.
Dude,
what?
I was about to do this like weird nature program. Right. Yeah,
it's like Yelp. Yeah. And I think that's why it's been at times over the past you know, 6 months or so, difficult to drum up the arousal because everything fucking sucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of external stressors for sure. Okay, the next category is partner characteristics. So their physical appearance, their physical health, their smell, their mental state, and other.
They're just like, has to be a blonde. Like, what's that name? Like,
huge knockers.
Gotta have enormous jugs.
Well, for me, I really like this, like when Free sweats, I think it smells good. Mm-hmm. So
the pheromones, yeah.
We talked about this. The pheromones were awesome. We're gonna have very healthy children. genetically fit children.
Is that a thing?
Like if you have compatible.
Oh yeah. It's like the white t-shirt or the plain t-shirt study is like something I read about in high school is you like they gave a bunch of men like for they had a couple women gave a series of men a white t-shirt and they had them wear it for 3 days without showering or putting on deodorant or using any smelly products. And then they put each one in a bag and had all these women smell them. And it turns out the ones who they were like, ooh, that person smells good are the ones who they're most genetically compatible with and like most likely to have like healthy and well-functioning children with. And all, it's the same thing for mouth taste. Like when you kiss, you're tasting like your genetic compatibility. And that's why people kiss before they have sex.
So chemistry does actually have like a genetic component.
Totally.
Huh. Yeah. That's fucked up. It's wild. Well, how does it work with lesbians?
Well, I imagine the same thing translates. I mean, it's like you're still probably more likely to be compatible if you're.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Because I definitely have noticed that.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, what were the other things? Physical characteristics?
Appearance, their health, their smell, their mental state, and other.
Their health. Yeah, I guess health does play an important part.
Yeah. If they have COVID, you maybe don't want to fuck them.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have the energy, let's be honest.
Yeah. And I wonder, how much do you guys think about your partner's perceived mental health? Not like if...
Right, what you think of it.
Yeah, because I've kind of been down a road of like, well, I'm, you know... It, from my vantage point, everybody in their mid-20s is having some real serious mental health battles. And that can make it really hard for me to like not have that hovering over a sexual encounter where I'm like, where is this falling into their fucking trauma cycle around like their mental health, you know, having, you know, completely divorced from how I am acting.
Totally.
You know what I mean? I'm not in.
Yeah. If you're like worried that they're feeling shitty, you're going to be a lot more in your head about like making sure you're being sensitive to it versus just being able to have sex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Definitely the ease and the comfort I have with my partner contributed to it being a positive encounter.
Yeah.
Cause like, even if like, I know her shit, she knows my shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting for hookups. Definitely. That plays a part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I thought that she was very attractive. I'm trying to think of the other elements of it.
Well, it sounded like she was relaxed too.
Yeah. I think that's and yeah, you know, yeah, I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Relaxed, attractive, two great qualities. Woo! incredibly elusive,
kind of crucial ingredients for a consensual encounter.
Okay, the next one I feel like we've definitely talked about, but relationship characteristics: trust, power dynamic, emotional connection, feeling desired, and the current frequency of having sex.
Yeah, feeling desired I feel like plays a huge part of it too, because often like there's definitely, you've got your rote sex where you're just like doing it to do it, but then there's like the moments where it's especially charged and it's like incredibly erotic.
Yeah.
And you just have to have each other, which I feel like is different from like your bust a nut routine.
Yeah. And that's definitely how I felt.
And a date night is the perfect, you know.
Totally. Yeah. You're putting aside time for each other. Mm-hmm. And I was excited to, like, I feel like part of what makes me attracted to someone is if I get to see them like showing off. So like if they're performing and they're doing really well, that's something that I think is really hot.
Yeah, or like performers.
Yeah, I do like performers. Or just if I like am at a dinner party with someone and they're like killing it socially and in this case, Frieden's like a dancer. Yeah, exactly.
In their element.
And everyone was like admiring him. And I was like, that's sick. Mm-hmm. I'm very attracted to that.
Yeah. And like the jealousy, I'm sure, motivated it a little
totally,
bit.
Totally. Totally.
Totally. Yeah. When I get jealous, I get really fucking horny.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there an element, do you think, that you and Catherine shared like a kind of like an innately intimate moment of just like, I mean, sitting on a couch with somebody and just taking in an evening is
totally intimate. It was romantic as fuck. Yeah. But it wasn't even like, it's not like we like lit candles or did anything like that. I think it's just like the novelty of having the place to yourself. And you got to like role play as kind of like an adult couple for a minute. Or it's like, we have our own place. Like,
right.
This is our home.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Like that imagination is fun too. But now I do live alone, so that's nice.
I think you guys nailed it. I mean, they were really happy, the person I'm talking about. And I also think maybe this idea of like this kind of sort of self-imposed like chastity situation like created a like sexy dynamic where it was like
tense.
All I wanted to do was get closer to them, but because of this like weird or like this kind of funny low stakes boundary we had set up, like I couldn't, you know, in terms of like physically going inside of them.
Yeah.
So there was this like element of like seeing how close I could get to them without kind of like actually, you know, putting my penis in them.
Yeah, totally.
Like maximum surface area of like skin. You know, I remember having the thought of like, I'm trying to have the highest percentage of like skin on skin possible.
That's true.
That's really funny. Yeah, like a new challenge.
Right.
Put it in her elbow nook or
something. Yeah.
Well, and also like the first time at her place is, I'm sure, exciting too.
Yeah, right.
That is always fun. It's like, oh, this is how you live. It's intimate. Yeah, it's like a look behind the curtain.
And, you know, this just came to me. I remember, like, this was the first time I felt in kind of, like, a nice way, like, showed off. Like, this was the first time it's a freaking sorority house, so it's, like,
definitely.
There's hella girls there. And it was, like, oh, you know.
The boyfriend.
The new boyfriend, you know, and they were, like, hi, Harry, you know. Which was, like, led to the feeling of, feeling really desired and really, like, admired. My girlfriend at the time.
The first couple times meeting the friends is always fun because you know they've been talking about you. Right. You know she's been like gushing, and then you get to be like, that's me. It's all true.
Should we move on to the next category?
Yeah.
The next one is setting. So whether it's private or public, like at home or at work, whether it's in person or distance. And then also like if you've seen them do something positive, like interact with people well, which we kind of talked about.
Like they're socially functioning. Yeah. That's a big turn on.
Well, it is.
Well, it's interesting because yours was rather public, but that didn't seem to matter. Maybe it even heightened
Think what we figured out was that it was like having to almost the opposite of what you said, like having to keep it a secret and like having being in a public setting definitely, and like having to like, you know, but then also being in the car and having to be like, I don't know, scared of getting caught and like being like aware of the surroundings too versus like just in a locked bedroom is much more fun for me. So yeah, the like combination public and private.
Was there an element of like this was the first imaginable place you guys could have had sex after like conjuring up this tension?
Yeah, definitely. Like also that we had like rushed to the car so we could have sex was very hot.
Did you guys communicate that?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I think as soon as we walked out, we started making out and then we were like, car. And then we just did it.
That is fun.
Yeah. Do you guys have, I mean, we've already kind of talked about this stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything new.
I just remember her room was very nicely lit.
Those fairy lights.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Probably like freaking string lights. And, like,
yeah. Every college room.
Yeah. Right.
We've definitely talked about this one too, but other life circumstances. So that's work or family related stress. And then whether it's like a holiday or an anniversary or an occasion, mm-hmm. which I think we've covered, we're all feeling relaxed and special. Kind of the perfect formula.
Yeah. It all boils down to feeling relaxed and special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like low pressure. There mm-hmm. wasn't a lot, like none of these were like make or break situations.
Yeah. And it just kind of unfolded naturally, I feel like, in each case.
Yeah. Definitely. That's true.
There's something to that. Organic.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Like none of this seems that profound now that we're talking about it. But in actuality, it's super hard to replicate.
Yeah. Well, and to identify.
Mm-hmm. I'm also struck by what has not been talked about, uh-huh. which is it is the opposite of everything I think about, which right. is like position, yeah. amount of time,
yeah.
like who came, you know, like
yeah.
When you zoom out, it's like,
yeah,
I guess people don't care about that stuff.
Well, that's kind of what, when you were saying, like when people stop being hard halfway through having sex, I'm like, it literally doesn't matter to me. Like, it's like,
yeah, I probably couldn't even tell you the specifics of like the sexual acts. I'm like, I just yeah. remember feeling good and having fun.
Yeah,
me and too. So much of it was the buildup, which is crazy.
Totally. Yeah, I have like one image of the sex itself, but it's like I barely remember it. But the rest of it, I remember so well.
That's right. So interesting. And yours didn't even have sex,
right? Yeah, I just had a boner.
Yeah,
I've had billions of boners.
You had blue balls, even. Yeah, some might say.
Okay, the next category is. The next category is things you do. So I guess this would be kind of the sex part. So self-guided fantasy, or like role play.
What is that, like at the museum where you put in the headphones?
Self-guided would be.
Those are the worksheets my therapist sends me.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, self-consent.
Yeah.
I guess it would be like you pretend you're somewhere else. I would hope. Mm. I mean, I guess it's normal to pretend that you're with someone else. I personally wouldn't want my partner to do that. I don't know. I feel like I've seen it in movies.
I've probably seen it in movies, but that probably wouldn't be positive for me.
I said the wrong name during sex once, but it was only because I heard the other person's voice like in the hallway outside of the room where I was having sex. And then I said that person's name and I was like, oops. And
did they buy the explanation you gave?
He said what? And I said nothing. But the other person was like a gay person who I've definitely... I'm not attracted to. It was like a close friend. So
so it wasn't that weird.
It wasn't that weird. It wasn't like it was like an ex or something.
Right. Horrifying.
Yeah, horrifying. Okay. Self-guided fantasy, partner-guided fantasy, like talking dirty, body parts that were touched or not. So that's definitely relevant for you. Oral sex, intercourse, etc.
Huh. Yeah. And I feel like that doesn't even matter that much to me, at least, mm-mm. in this encounter. Mm-mm. Well, the ice. Who could forget the ice cube?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's definitely important.
Yeah, there's like a toy. There's an element of play.
Yeah, and like knowing what she liked mm-hmm. and like being cognizant of that and then probably totally. Feeling like proud of yourself for doing it well.
So proud.
Yeah.
That's like sometimes, honestly, giving is way better than receiving because you can like be like brush your shoulders yeah. off a little bit.
That's how I feel about presents.
Yeah, you're a great gift giver.
Well, thank you, but I don't imagine. Like getting presents. They're always bad, sorry.
a present has never made you come.
No, a present has never made me come, but giving a present, well, I've come close.
And all I want is a good present, and I just feel like my expectations are too high.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think about in terms of that is I remember, you know, being on top of her for the large majority of that,
and you like that exchange.
He's a top
in that moment. I did, and that, you know, no, I don't, I mean, dude, I have no idea. But I do remember like just physically being, you know, kind of feeling very big in that yeah, situation.
Totally.
Which was tight.
That is fun.
Yeah, maybe more in control.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's funny, control's a funny one for me because I do kind of feel like hyper conscientious of where the other person is at. And I don't, that sounds like I'm like humble bragging or whatever, but that's not, that isn't, I don't think, I don't, how it eventually, my intentions aside, I think my like the net output is not end up being that, you know?
Yeah.
But because I'm so like, feel so like hyper conscientious, I guess what I'm saying is, even if I'm hyper conscientious, I don't know how to act on it. So who the fuck, you know,
who the fuck cares
if I'm not who the fuck cares, but like that's right, step one. What the fuck was I going to say? Oh, because I'm hyper conscientious, if I'm in control, there's kind of this actually surrendering of control because they're in control in the sense that I am really
trying
to like be conscientious to what where they're
at. They're mind controlling you. Right. In a way.
Totally. I know. I feel like sometimes that gets in the way of sex for me is that we're both trying to make the other person happy. And there's like a school of thought around being more selfish in sex and how if everyone is selfish in sex, everyone has fun. Even if like, you know, yeah. Because like, I think that at least people I know maybe trend too much towards trying to mind read and then do that. And then both people are doing that. And then nobody ends up having fun. Right. Yeah. And then, but if you're like, well, this is what I want. Like I have a friend who knows how to make herself come. She does it every time during sex. She also is like giving to her partner, but like, she's like, if I have fun, you have fun. So I'm just going to do this, which I think is really cool. And I wish that I knew that. And then I would definitely do it.
Totally.
There's also, that is interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
When somebody puts themselves first in sex in a kind of like a, well, maybe I don't, maybe this is a gender thing, but how I imagine it is when somebody puts themselves, like if I was with a woman and she put herself first, because that's like breaking the like typical hetero contract. I would be like, oh, I know they're telling the truth. Like I know they're being they're being comfortable in themselves.
Yeah.
They're like being honest with this situation. And so that would allow me to be more honest and relaxed and
totally.
Yada, yada.
No, yeah. I think it's super hot. Like when, without being too graphic, when Catherine like takes control or like leads me when I'm like, I don't know, eating her out or something.
Yeah.
Or like, it seems like she's like grinding on my face.
Yeah.
And she's always like, was I suffocating you? And I was like, no, that was fucking amazing. Yeah. You should do that every time. And then you get what you want. And then it's also, yeah, I think we underestimate how sexy it is when our partners are assertive.
Totally. Especially I think women. Because, definitely. Like, because you know, in normal sex, a guy knows how to make himself come.
Right.
I mean, in straight sex, especially. And, like, it's harder for women. And so I think, like, yeah, if it's, like, two women and you both know how to make yourself come, like, that's awesome. And, yeah. Like, you should do it.
My philosophy is use me.
Yeah, totally.
Use my body.
Yeah. And, like, even if, like, you know, you were, if you had sex with a woman who, like, just only, like, you know, made herself come, like that's still an awesome experience for both people, I think.
You know? And it's probably super hot to watch.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's cool.
So you hear that, girl bosses?
Yeah, girl bosses, CEOs. Find out what you want and get it.
Okay. Just jack off.
So we're supposed to have done this for three different positive experiences and three negative experiences, but I feel like we can extrapolate. I mean, do you guys know anything generally that makes you unlikely to enjoy having sex? For me, having sex in the dark is bad.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah. I mean, just anytime I'm too in my head and not in the moment. So that could be through weed or if there's like an argument that's weighing on me. I don't know.
Yeah. Work-related stress.
I don't actually. Novel environments stress me out more than I enjoy them, I think.
Yeah.
Like the excitement is not worth the anxiety.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people. I don't know what else is bad for me.
Do you have a thought about why the dark?
It's just PTSD from sexual assault. So, yeah. And if the other person's drunk, then I can't do that.
Totally.
But other than that, if I'm high, it's kind of worse.
Yeah. And I don't get the people who are like, oh, you got to have sex while high. I'm like, no, if I'm high, my hand's in a bag of Cheetos and I want to watch The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to get my dick wet at that moment.
Totally. Totally agree.
But yeah, probably just mostly contextual things again.
Yeah.
Like it's not like there's specific sex acts that repulse me.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Which is another funny thing because so many people are so concerned about.
Right. Specific wants. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it kind of feels like most people in the right context would be down to try everything.
Yeah.
You know? Which is also a theory for sexuality.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Anyone can be gay, just given the right setting.
So do you guys want to, well, it's kind of one prompt. So then maybe identify five things from what we talked about that make you enjoy sex more. So for me, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. I only actually got to four. I can't remember my fifth thing, but
there's only four.
Showing off my partner or my partner showing off. Mm-hmm. I think it makes them very sexy to me. Having to keep some part of it secret, whether that's like being really into each other across the room and not like acting on it, or like having sex in a place that's secret. That is fun for me. Already being physically active. And then also having to like wait and, or like having an external barrier placed where I'm like, it's a big opportunity now to have sex. And it's not like we could have had sex all day and we could have sex all day tomorrow. It's like, mm-hmm. right now is the time and we're so lucky.
Yeah.
To be having it.
Yeah. I think like maybe one of the biggest ones for me is like intentionality. Like we're both in the moment and we're having a romantic evening.
Yeah.
Or just some sort of like, it even works when we're like, when it's like, let's have sex this afternoon. Or like we set a time for it, which seems unsexy, but then it like removes the pressure in my head of like, when are we going to have sex? Should we have sex now? Should we do it now? When should we do it? Like, I don't know. Totally. It's just, it takes one element of anxiety out of it for me. Intentionality.
Do you think it also helps to like be like, then you get to be working yourself up to like a sexy moment all day versus having to
maybe
look
like
for
something
one?
That's like, I don't know, to say planned sounds so fucking lame, but like,
no, that's cool.
Just some sort of, you know, make an event out of it maybe rather than.
And it's less ambiguous.
Yeah.
It's like, we both want to have sex right now. Uh-huh. No, there's no, we don't need to worry about if the person would rather be watching TV.
Especially when it's like, when you're both unemployed together and it's a global pandemic. Yeah. Like, theoretically, you could fuck all day, every day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like,
I have the same pressure where I'm like, okay, is now a good time? Like, should I get out of the way now? Because what if I'm like in a bad mood later? And like, is this like, I feel fine about it. Does that mean I have to do it
now? Which is like so the opposite of how we should be approaching things.
Totally.
What could you do?
And that's like the element of having to wait that I'm exactly craving.
Right. Yep. Privacy, I think, is big for me. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to distill it into five things. Maybe like the promise of trying something new is exciting.
That's cool.
Even if it's just like a new room. Or like, yeah, it's fun whenever you're like, when you're in a hotel room, obviously, it's like, first thing you do is have sex.
Yeah. Maybe like knowing also that you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Like you knew that you were
nailing
it with the ice.
I guess I like to top, which is something I did not know about myself.
Yeah,
I'm
cool.
Very lazy. So much easier to be lazy heterosexual woman. You just lie there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I think a lot of what you said, I echo, and the orgasm being like decentralized or like
decentralized banking. Yeah.
Using Bitcoin for the orgasm. Yeah. Global multinational orgasms. regular orgasms, not, like less emphasis put on the de-emphasizing. That was what I was looking for. Orgasms. Being like really unambiguously wanted, I think is really sexy to me. I think the person being in a, like, the less performance there can be, the better. The less like need to perform on both parts, because I think people are really perceptive to performance and also think they're really good at performance.
Yeah.
And so it's like when somebody's performing, that's stressful, because I think people pick it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm general. Like, I think that happens to me when I the less I feel like I need to perform, the better.
Right. Well, it almost feels like performing is the opposite of like getting yourself off, where it's like performing is almost like doing what you think the other person wants you to do.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah. Know. Like anticipating something that might not even be actually occurring.
Right. And it's funny because I don't even mean performance in the way that I think it's more commonly associated with sex. I don't mean like
performance
being good at sex.
Tossing your hair around.
Yeah. It. Yeah. Right. I mean more like being not needing to perform happiness or not needing to perform
totally
comfort or not needing to, you know, pretend you're not on edge when you are on edge or whatever the fuck, you know?
Yeah. Which is, I can see how, as a single man in Brooklyn. Yeah. I feel like because you don't have like a consistent partner, it's harder to have that, achieve that level of just total relaxation with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something my boyfriend said to me like a month or two ago where I was like, oh, I don't know, like working myself up to having sex is feeling like so much effort. And he was like, well, you don't have to like work yourself up to anything. Like it doesn't have to be any kind of way. Like we hang out all the time. It's just hanging out, but more physical. And it was like a breakthrough for me where I was like, oh, I don't have to like act all excited or sexy about it. Like it's it can be casual. We're in a serious relationship. Like it's not a big deal.
Casual sex has such like, it does feel like a production sort of, and it is a social dance, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's we're learning a lot here.
Yeah.
And it's sex that isn't all like hot and heavy and emotional and all of that, in some ways can be more intimate.
Totally.
It's like because it's like you're saying, it's like it's not more authentic, but it's an expression of authenticity.
Well, and if you're doing something really intimate with like a stranger, it's gonna feel more intimate, maybe. I don't know. Is that what you're saying, or is that the opposite of what you're saying?
I guess what I mean is like sex where you're just like, oh, we're both bored, but we're kind of horny. Like, let's rub one out. Like, that's way more fucking significant, intimate shit than, you know,
both putting on your best lingerie.
Right.
Yeah, totally, totally. And that's really helped me during sex to be like, I'm like being totally myself and like making jokes and like I'm just hanging out versus trying to like make everything be cool or sexy.
Right.
Because it's a different mode. It's like not different. It doesn't have to be different.
Yeah. Damn. That's awesome.
Yeah. And if we wanted to, which I don't think we have to, but for any listeners, you could select two or three of your five and try to think of a to-do list that's concrete and specific. For example, Free and I thought of maybe if we exercise at the same time more often, then we'll both be physically active, you know, whether or not we do it together. And then it'll be more likely that we've hit the, what's the like kinetic energy, potential energy initialization, whatever required to.
Yeah, like the threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. You could even have shower sex.
Exactly. Yeah. And shower sex has been good for us because it's steamy. Already, and we're already naked. So there's again very little activation energy. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, I didn't take STEM classes. So yeah, that's on you, engineer.
Yeah, there's not very much required to like move to that thought process. Anyway, awesome.
I should probably fall in love.
Yeah, your one concrete to-do list item.
Just get an FWB situation, maybe. Yeah. Also.
Yeah. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, I hope that was helpful for people listening too. Follow along if you want to do these quizzes too. Tell us your results. We at one point we're gonna make a bell graph. What's it called?
Yeah,
bell graph. The bell curves
of people's cisses and sesses.
Yes.
And look, go beat off. No.
Yeah. Go mutually masturbate with your partner, or your roommate.
Yeah. Or yourself and yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, self-guided.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do that one next.
Yeah, well, we're going to do a self-guided masturbation episode for you guys next.
Okay, well.
Don't forget the balls.
Those go in your mouth.
Boon in next week.